Welcome to the award-winning Disrupt Education Podcast, a podcast that explores the latest innovations and trends in the world of education. I'm your host, Peter Hostrasser, along with Allie Privet.
We're both educators. Okay, one of us is a former educator, and we were tired of the status quo and wanted to create a space where we could have conversations that aren't always in the public eye. Join us as we talk to other disruptors, educators, researchers, and thought leaders who are pushing the boundaries and challenging the way we were taught.
We're thrilled you're here to be part of a not-so-underground movement to disrupt and amplify the good pieces in education. Whether you're a teacher, a parent, or a lifelong learner, there's a story for everyone on Disrupt Education. We're here each week to bring you stories from all over the globe of people doing education differently.
So buckle your seatbelt, get on the disruptor plane as we climb to altitude before letting this episode free fall straight to your ears.
Hey, it's Peter Hostrasser here. And hey, I want to tell you something about how I am actually disrupting education. Yeah, I'm moving forward with portfolios on spikeview.com. If you head over to spikeview.com, basically what we're teaching our students to do is actually to create a skills-based portfolio around their interests, their passions, and what they're good at. It's called the strength-based approach. So basically what we do is we build up our students and have them understand what they're good at and what they're interested in by the time they leave our high school. But it doesn't stop there. It's a K through gray. So if you want your students to continue to build their strengths in this day and age where resumes are dying, and to show more and more about who they are, what they do, and they actually control all the data behind it, guess what? SpikeView is the place for you. Head over to spikeview.com, check it out. Let me know if you need anything, because I tell you what, I have used this with my own family and my students. Check out spikeview.com today. Go, let's just do it.
And go. Yeah, welcome right. back to the Disrupt Education Podcast. I'm Allie Privet, here with the co-host Peter Hostrasser, the starter of the Disrupt Education Podcast. I just came along for the ride, started jumping out of planes, and here we are, a year in.
I love it.
What's going on, Peter?
Oh man, let me tell you, just feeling energized talking to all these students that we have on this series that we got going on. And yeah, life is good. Like, you know, you hear young people kind of look optimistically and you're just like, let's go, you know. Even though I'm not that young anymore, but I'm just like, you know, it does give you a lot of reflection on what you do as an educator. And then it also just gives you a lot more hope in trying to get more and more people that you work with, adults, kids, whatever, to just move forward towards our goals. So that's what's going on.
I mean, our most recent guest, Gabby, if we could sum up her episode, I would say, you know, she's a bright light. And when you talk about talking to young people and that kind of this idea of the fountain of youth and educating, I don't know, there's something special about the energy that someone who's untethered from the world they aren't so, I don't know, adults, you know, you can be skewed, you can be lackadaisical, you can be frustrated. I don't know. There's layers to adulthood that young people are not yet burdened with, for the most part. I have asterisks on that, because there are certainly young people that do carry a lot for many different reasons. But Gabby is someone who, she's kind of like, if you want a reason for like why you teach, she's the type of student that comes to mind, you know. And for, I think any educator listening to this knows a Gabby, has taught a Gabby, you know, type. And yeah, there's nothing that there, you can't, as Gabby was talking about, you can't put a numerical value on that, yet the world wants to.
Right.
Maybe we dive in there.
Yeah, I like that. Nowhere ever did she ever bring up, like, I mean, she did bring up, yeah, she knew she was going to get a good grade in my class because I told the kids, I'm like, you try, you're going to get a good grade. I mean, that's it, right? So it's a little bit different than testing, but you have to perform, right? You have to experience things. So she realized that and she accepted that challenge. I think Patrick did as well. But yeah, like, you know, it wasn't, yeah, there wasn't a score. She wants to become a teacher, and listen to this very carefully. If you're an educator or an administrator or a lawmaker, she is becoming a teacher to help people, like, become the best person they can be, not to get an A. Did you hear that? Like that was in between the lines. And same thing with Patrick, although he wasn't going into education, but like Gabby was like, I just want to help. You know, I'm working with kids in camp. I love like being positive with them. The kid with the hat that was wet and he was crying about it. And she was like trying to put it in perspective and helping young people put their learning journey in perspective, not the best SAT score, the best GPA, the best blah, 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 get into the best college, none of that. And that's what I love about like how she put that. And I think like going back to what you said, I think we're in a world that is hopefully realizing that putting students into numeric values may not be a good thing all the time. And
the data driven, I mean, I've said this before, I was in science, like it's a data field, data landmine field, I don't know. And I was a science educator that rejected like making all these data-driven decisions was like a big phrase. And it's like relationally, you focus on relationships, which that was very evident as a huge driver for Gabby, right? Mm-hmm. Community and relationships in everything that she does, that radiates off of her. And that's why she connected with you, because you built such a strong relationship. It wasn't just a go to class, check the box. That's a theme that we're seeing here. And if you're going into this school year, this upcoming school year, you know, like how can you focus on relationships than a number or letter on a page that is going to determine how you interact with someone or where you place them or, you know, measure their success. I think education has that off at every level, you know. There are students who are, you know, number driven. There are teachers that are numerically driven, admin, data driven, and lawmakers and policy holders that want some percentage on a piece of paper to check the box of whether or not you're successful. And that's just, I think that's now old school. Yes, mm-hmm. We live in this AI technology, you know, oh my gosh, all these standards and numbers and stuff, but like, don't you think about those old, like those one room schoolhouses or people back in the day? Like I was, okay, this actually is really good. It seems like an irrelevant side fact, but I do sell some stuff on eBay. Gabby's doing her own selling of stuff. And I find like stuff at antique shops and auctions and repurpose it. And mm-hmm. books are something that old books, oddly, they sell on eBay. Mm-hmm. And so my dad actually had found an old chemistry book and arithmetic books. And I had those in my classroom. These were like middle school level back then. They're mm-hmm. from the 1800s. That my high schoolers had no idea how to solve. Mm-hmm. And it's like there's a lot of layers to that. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, we're dumbing down education or anything like that, but sometimes the leveling people think, oh, like, well, they didn't know that much, or they couldn't do as much as we can do now in this information age. And it's like, people still solved problems and invented all the stuff that we got to where we are now. There, you know, and it was probably more relationship based. Right. And moving each person along in their learning journey. And that was something that Gabby really hit on, was this relationship piece. And if you're in a one room schoolhouse, you better have really good relationships with everyone in that schoolhouse in order to know where they are, where they're headed, and how to help them get there. Because you can't do everything for everyone.
And in addition to that, I believe like in those schoolhouses, right, didn't they have students helping students, you know, and it was just a, it was that, that family kind of thing. And I think in education somewhere along the way, you know, I am a believer in competition. I like competition. I think it actually helps people and entities and companies or whatever get better. However, like siloed competition, I think we've done that in education to where, you know, it's me against you versus, you know, my GPA, my class rank and all this stuff. Well, I think some schools have actually started to get rid of class rank and et cetera, but they're doing it just to like make everybody happy. They're not really like they're putting a bandage on what's really happening, right? And like what you just said there is like, you know, maybe we could get deeper into crazy awesome education or go back into those 1800s books as you know, in arithmetic or science if we had people working together like they did then, right? And you know, I think we've missed, like, that's gone now because I think we've siloed people up. I think it's part of the pandemic. I think it's part technology. So I think you're on to something there. That's why I really wanted to ask her about, and I got the answer that I kind of expected about cheerleading, right? It was a family, like, you know, when you're working with a team that just is awesome, it's hard at the end of the year. I know that as a coach, I know you are a coach, like it's very difficult. You know, when you have to say goodbye to that team, right? Yep. And you go through it, but then you go back and see how much you did together. You helped the person, a couple of people struggling at certain points. Some people showed up for a game, some people didn't, but you all tried to lift each other up. What, I mean, I think we need to do more of that with education rather than, well, Allie, you need to regurgitate all these facts and that's it. It needs to be, well, let's be a part of this group. And what did you bring to the table? What skills do you bring to the table? And I think that's, you know, I hope we're going to see that. It's very difficult to break kids out of that mold because it's traditional thinking. And nobody wants to ask for help. I will tell you what, Gabby and Patrick both ask for help a lot. Or what do you think about, or do you know somebody who, and that's how they started to preface their questions. And she even said it, Gabby said it in, you know, the episode before, like talking about a teacher where a kid was asking a question and the teacher is getting upset. Like, you know, there's a better way than to just say, Allie, shut up and go find it for yourself. You can tactfully get to that outcome with a relationship rather than go to Google or go to ChatGPT, right? Like, this is a great question. I don't know the answer to it. And I really don't want to just go find it for you. Let's go find it together. You know, there's just different ways. And that is a relationship. And I think that's, you know, kind of reading between the lines again with what Gabby was saying. That's, I think, where we're headed, especially with AI and automation now. I mean, we have to get back to person to person, team to team, you know, relationships and learning.
Passing the torch. And it's interesting that Gabby has chosen kind of the work that she has, right? She's doing camp counseling for like that age group that she could potentially see herself teaching in. And she also spoke about when she was in elementary school, she was the kid who was asking for the sheets and for the papers so she could be the teacher. I go back to this idea of this one room schoolhouse. is really what came to mind with this, because she would be an asset in that type of an environment. And not all kids have her skill set, but then it's kind of this raising the bar, you know, silo, and maybe not even a silo is the right word, but this, it's this local, you know, community building, we're all in this together. There can still be competition. I do think competition is super valuable, but this idea of, you know, grouping kids based on their age is about as good as grouping kids because their favorite color is yellow. I mean, right. It's about as relevant. And, you know, just because we've been doing that model does not mean that it's, effective. And I could really see, you know, this, the middle schoolers and high schoolers, and really in any kind of work setting, you have like more experienced people working with the newer people. And there isn't this like, oh, well, all the newbies, you're in this area and you get no contact with anyone else and you do all of your work and everything. Not how it works outside of school. So why can't we, you know, have more relationships? And we've talked about this, even like bringing the outside world into school, because that shows more of that. And then the same thing is like, how can we bring the high school into the middle school into elementary, and like vice versa? Their elementary school practice, imagine going back, and there are mentorship programs at some schools where, you know, there are these high school teams that go in and talk about different topics to middle schoolers and whatnot. But imagine being a high schooler and going back and seeing like the science fair project, or mentoring a kid, or doing reading and writing with them and helping be part of that, because you're going to be like, wow, like at one point this was me. And mm-hmm. There you would recognize all these things you have learned, and it would probably anchor your learning a little bit better. And there could so easily be space for that in so many school districts. So I really just, this piece that Gabby talked about with relationships and then being number one, and people matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids who are in that building are not numbers and values on a piece of paper, like mm-hmm. they're assets, and they're part of the community. In such, it can be, they're so underutilized, I guess, is what I right. really talked about this with Derek and like in terms of like trades and stuff. Imagine mm-hmm. like, oh, there's so much untapped resource, because we just think that all, not all, but like a lot of what kids, especially in the high school level, are there for schools to sit and get.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's in addition, I mean, I still go back to Patrick's accountability. I'll tell you, like, and I do remember I had her and I had Gabby in career planning, and there were students who just didn't choose to do, like, and you know, whether there's, I mean, I'm sure there's trauma, there's all different kinds of things, or there, you know, there's society telling them, you know, that the education system is all crap, whatever it is, right? Which I don't think that's what we're doing here. We're just trying to figure out, okay, so how can we better, like I said, get this journey of this kid going? And it's just, you know, it's one of the things that I try to do, and I struggle with, and every year I'm going to try to redo it a little bit differently, is just to give the kids the opportunity, give them the chance. And one of the quotes that I use all the time, Allie, is, you know, and I feel like Patrick and Gabby and, you know, anybody who we've had on the podcast who has gone through education and done pretty well or got clarity, and I don't mean like, you know, well, maybe they're not the best student, but, you know, on paper. But what they did is they took advantage of school, and rather than having school take advantage of them. And I think I try to instill that into every student. I'm like, you all have an opportunity here, and you have this amazing, I'm going to give you, and I think that's what Gabby was saying, I'll give you an A if you try, like, right? Like if you're looking at a grade, What if I took the grade away? Now what? Are you just going to sit here and be bored? And some do. And it's like, I still will every day constantly put out, you know, a quote or push. And I think that's the hardest part about being an educator now. Gabby gets it. Patrick gets it. Gabby really got it. She was just like, and yes, trust me, there were days where even she was just like, couldn't be motivated, right? I mean, there are days in that 7-hour schedule or 8-hour schedule, like you can't. But I think, you know, what we're talking about here is, you know, changing your mindset and your own accountability. And you know, it's consistency. It's that, you know, how can I get in front of you and constantly tell you, like, I will have students come back to me. I'm sure you've had students come back to you and say, gosh, you believed in me and I didn't do anything in your class, but now I am. So that's the hardest part, is because I was like, I could have saved you years, but it's good to hear that you're moving forward. But, you know, and then you get the kids that you have no idea where they go. But it's really, like you said, enlightening to hear Gabby say that, where it goes into relationships. And then you're right. How can we connect? I mean, not only, like you said, elementary, middle, high school students, like across the board, but community, right? How do we get community going on there? How do we get, like, you know, where students can see learners in general, the entire learning community, teachers as well, can really see what people are really doing, you know, and really go and try, you know? It's good.
Well, in order to do that, we would have to disrupt the model that education currently lives in. True. Which shockingly is the name of this podcast. I know, for anyone listening to this, I know you're so shocked by that answer,
right?
But you know, there are plenty of people who haven't heard this message, who haven't thought about education any differently than they experienced it.
Yes.
And you know, and I think it's almost in Gabby and Patrick's answers that kind of even show that, like, they, a lot of their answers were, in my opinion, it's nothing against their answers. There are small changes to what could be a wildly different system that could still have better outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, you don't know what you don't know. I had never heard of a micro school until we had Maureen O'Shaughnessy mm-hmm. on the podcast. That was a new idea to me. You know, like, there are the Nate Clayburgh episode where he literally is like this economic development liaison, and he's getting kids into the community. And, like, I mean, if you haven't listened to that episode, that's like way back in January, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
But there are so many different ways to do school. And those are just like a couple quick examples. We've heard so many on mm-hmm. the podcast, and it doesn't need to be so rigid
yeah.
and formulaic.
Right. I call it like a buffet, right? Can we create a buffet, like, you know, education system where, you know, everybody tries something and whatever they work best with, then they can go down like 4 or 5 different ways that things, I mean, I think it happens occasionally, but I think that we're on to something here. I really do. And it's all because of the students, the previous students that we've had, the professionals that we've talked to. And you know, what I'm, again, coming back into another school year, don't laugh. I know you don't have to get up on that Monday. All right. So, but like going back in, how can I make that buffet happen more in a classroom, in a structure that I have to be in? And I think that's going to be another focus of mine coming into this year. So if I had to like kind of put on my like, okay, overall hat of what did I learn from Gabby's conversation and her awesome list, by the way, is that like, how can I buffet out a classroom period where I can't control everything else, but what can we do between the bells to kind of make it as interesting and as engaging and individually like personable as possible. And I think I'm going to start there and we'll see where we go through the school year.
It's interesting because a lot of these conversations that we have on the podcast can still be used even if you're not in education, mm-hmm. right? So even though I am, unlike you, not in the traditional classroom, these types of ideas can be applied to any field. I find myself reflecting often on the conversations we have and bringing them into business and relationships that are not in a traditional classroom. Like, you can have, the classroom doesn't just live in the four walls of a school building. And, you know, there are opportunities to disrupt systems by being open to change, investing in relationships, and like being okay with like trying something, failing in quotes, mm-hmm. and adjusting. And like, I don't know, life wasn't meant to be all waffles or all spaghetti. If you haven't listened, but it's like, it can't be so rigid and it can't be so crazy. You know, it's like, you can modulate, you can swing, you can try something and you can put the waffles and the spaghetti together. And like, maybe it's great, maybe it's awful, but like, why not try it? You know, it's too rigid. It's too inflexible, mm-hmm. the system. And sometimes I want, and that, like, for even in my own life. So it's like the flexibility that I allow myself in life now, like, wouldn't fit into a traditional school model, because it's like, it doesn't vibrate. Like, I would feel trapped and, mm-hmm. In a very traditional setting. So it's like, but that's because I have been out of the space for a year. So for you to hear you say, like, you know, I'm going to live in that space and can control what I can control and grow outward from that, is really good space to be in. And like, it doesn't matter what system you're in, how rigid or how flexible it is, you can still focus more on relationships. You can and grow that community. And that's going to bring you more purpose and passion than anything else. It's not test scores. It's not grades. It's not numbers on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Even Gabby, like, you know, she's like, yeah, you know, I like my business and I make money from it. But I didn't hear her say, I do my business to make money. That's a mm-hmm. very big difference.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I'll kind of give you my final thought, because you got to take us out because you started this whole thing today. So, but, you know, Gabby, we've had a lot of conversations about career path and where she wanted to go. Didn't know if she wanted to go into business or teaching or whatever. And she struggled with choosing one or the other. And what I heard her say is something that I want a lot of students to start to realize, is it can be a yes and at this time in your life. And it, you know, if it's not going to be overwhelming or, you know, physically or mentally damaging to you, go for it. Right. And for her to say that she still has the vision of her shop, and to also be an elementary school teacher, I love the fact that she's like, all right. And I think she's figured out for herself that whatever happens, she's not going to be disappointed in herself because she tried it. And that's, I think, the way that you go. So for me as an educator, I think that's going to keep me trying new things and trying some. So that's the inspiration that I pulled from that one.
I love the yes and mm-hmm. Well, this has been an awesome episode. Thank you all for joining us. And from myself, Allie Privett, Peter Hostrasser, thank you so much. This is another episode of the Disrupt Education. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Disrupt Education Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Are you ready to disrupt the educational arena you're a part of? For more ways to get involved in the work we do here at Disrupt Education, check us out at disrupteducation.co or find us on LinkedIn at Peter Hostrasser or Allie Privet.
Our mission here is to help facilitate and amplify changes in the educational system through local initiatives and help you scale them into community movements. Our building network of disruptors in education are working to move beyond scores and grades as the only measure for student learning. If your school district, college campus, or organization is looking for facilitators of this work, reach out on our website or social media.
And if you have any thoughts or feedback on this week's episode or any episode, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries, taking risks, and most importantly, disrupting education.